Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together.
Welcome back to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, where work becomes more than a job. It's where you thrive. Today, we are honored to welcome back a truly powerful voice in the world of workplace wellness and purpose-driven leadership, Dr. Heather Lamb. If you joined us for the previous episode, you already know the insight and inspiration she brings. And if you're new, be prepared to be transformed. With over 25 years in education as a teacher, principal, and central office leader, Dr. Lamb brings her heart, her expertise, and strategy to everything she touches. She believes that when people are empowered and workplaces are intentional, magic happens. Performance elevates, well-being flourishes, and people feel deeply seen. Dr. Lamb is a nationally recognized thought leader whose work has been featured in Business Insider, Newsweek, HuffPost, HR Daily Advisor, and more. She's the author of How Not to Be a People Pleaser and a trusted consultant who helps individuals and organizations build aligned, joyful, and sustainable work lives. In this conversation, we will go even deeper into what is really takes to thrive, set boundaries, and redefine success on your own terms. Let's welcome back the brilliant and purposeful filled Dr. Heather Lamb to Passion and Purpose with Pamela.
It's so relative and it's so easy to speak with you. So I don't want to, I'm all about authenticity, right?
Yes.
And so because I am like that, it's hard for me to be structured in the place, but I feel so comfortable with you. And I feel like, you know, you and your space is definitely for the masses. You and your space definitely are out there to heal and to provide purpose and to help people drive in a certain direction. And so I want to enhance you as you enhance me. So if we do this again, just hit go from the beginning, and then you can cut and do whatever you need to do. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do, because I want to make sure that you are getting and the listeners are getting what they need from me as well as your programming. So
awesome. Well, I tell you, if you have not seen her the first time, you're getting the opportunity to meet Dr. Heather Lamb. And she comes with a myriad of things. And as women, we don't like to toot our own horn. It's difficult because, first of all, I have to say, I was never raised to do that. So I get that. I'm going to start with you I'm going to tell you something that struck me about you is that you listen with empathy. You always have. I see you thinking all the time. You listen with empathy. You're listening to what the person has to say. And you also deliver creative, actionable steps. The last time you were on here, you basically told people, we discussed your book, we talked about how not to be a people pleaser, and you gave all our audience a lot of tips on things they need to do. We can go from there, but you have so many other things. I think about here when you talk about celebrating people's wins, you do that working in corporations, partnering with people. So there's so many things that we can discuss. And I just want it to run the gamut, because this is where people get the information that they need. And trust me, they love you. And you have so much to say. And I love you too. So
I love you. I love them. And thank you so much for thank you so much for having me again. Again, it's about that authenticity. It's about that living life on purpose. It's about making sure that you are giving all you can so that you can receive all you can, right?
Right.
And So I think our last conversation was definitely, about the book and about, not being a people pleaser, and again, living life on purpose and making sure that you have equipped yourself with the wherewithal to be able to live and make very deliberate decisions, things that will positively impact your life, and making sure that you're not being manipulated or taken advantage of, and making sure that you are seeing the forest for the trees as it involves relationships. So that's kind of what that book is all about, helping you find yourself, understanding that you are worth it all, and that, don't minimize yourself for anyone. And if you can't do it, just say no, right? So that's kind of where that lived. And that kind of led me into this workplace well-being space in regards to making sure that, we have to work for a living. It's a biblical construct, right? So, you don't work, you don't eat. But at the same time, while you have to work, you have to make sure that you are working in a very purposeful and deliberate way as well to ensure that your work is not stressful, to ensure that your work is not, causing you angst and health issues, and that you're looking at things that happen in the workplace in the proper way so that you can function and you can enjoy what you do enough that when you leave to go home, you're not still thinking about it, right? And that you can prioritize those things, and that you can, isolate certain things from work. But you have to be in a place when you are working your 40-hour week, your 8-hour day, or even 12-hour day, depending upon, how you work. You want to make sure that it's not causing any issues in your life, that it is doing what it's supposed to do, which is providing you with the means to live. Other than that, when it comes to the negativity, you have to put it aside. And so, as a workplace well-being strategist, I support employers as well as their employees in making sure that there's a good work-life balance in that regard, and looking at how to make it all. Now, we won't hold hands and sing kumbaya all the time, right, at work. But what we do have to do is respect one another, make sure that we are empathetic, and we keep the main thing in mind, which is employee success, which will be company success. So that's kind of where I go with the workplace well-being, area.
I have some questions. I'm thinking about, I am an employee. My job is stressful. Every day I am stressed out when I go to work. What would be some of the things? Because I know there are people, if they're in this situation, that everything is stressful. This time that we're in is stressful. How do I navigate this? What are some of the things I need to do? Because I'm at a loss right now of how do I take care of myself and be joyful in my job.
So the first thing to do is to make sure that you're looking at your work from the proper perspective, right? Looking at your work in a way that does not allow it to take over your entire life and doesn't allow you to exude emotions and be so emotional about it that it causes you any angst or health issues and things of that nature. So the proper perspective is one. And to get the proper perspective, it sometimes it just calls you to stand back and look at it from the balcony perspective. To look at is take yourself out of your situation sometimes and really look at some of the players at hand, some of the situations and things that are happening, and figure out what you can do to mitigate some of your emotional turmoil. So that's one. And we can't forget about being mindful. Take time out of your day and just give yourself 5 minutes, right? Breathe and think and figure out, is this the most beneficial thing for me? How can I make it beneficial for me? Is this something that will work out for me? Do I need to look at investing my time into another space to move on and out of this position? Or is this something that I can talk to my superiors about and talk to my colleagues about that can help me in this situation? What are you dealing with that's causing you all these angst? And so there are a plethora of things, that you need to be able to reflect on and be able to do in order to have this life that does not, you want to go to work and thrive. You don't want to go to work and just survive. You want to go to work and feel like it's a place that will miss you if you're gone. You want to be valued. You want to be respected. And so how do you let them know this is what you need if you're not getting it? How do you, make sure that this is a place where you can stay? Or how do you prepare yourself even to move on to somewhere else if it's not serving you? So there are a lot of things that you can do to kind of, help yourself as you have to navigate this thing called life.
Wow. I mean, when you were describing all those things, I was thinking about being a supervisor and looking at the staff that you have and each person's life and how do you help them navigate where they are at work, and also thinking about what they bring to the table. What do they come through the door with? What are some of the things they're dealing with? And try to be there with them. I can't do everything for them, but to be empathetic in terms of where they are and then help them be the very best that they can. And as an employee, how do I know when it's time for me to look elsewhere? And how do I know that the problem isn't me? How, you know, because I can look at all the other players, everybody plays them. How do I know when it's not me? What are some of the signs that says you need to check yourself? Well, what, I know I've got a lot of questions because this is deep. This is good.
Well, let me start with what you just ended with. Like, how do I check myself, right? How do I know that I'm not causing some of the issues myself? How do I know that I am not the origin of all those problems? How do I know that it's just not me? Well, I think you need to stand back and reflect on historically what has been going on in your life. In your professional space, what do those relationships look like? Is it that everywhere you go, it's a hot issue? If there's a problem, then it might just be you. Now, even if it is you, we need to fix it. Because I don't care whether it's you and you've been doing the same crazy stuff for 20 years, you don't want to live like that anymore, right? Because that causes for you to have to move from job to job and you're never comfortable. And there's always some kind of issue going on with a colleague or a supervisor or what have you. Then we can safely say it's probably you, right? And so what we need to do is we need to step back and evaluate what's happening because repetition will show you that it's you. There's always going on, and you always got to leave, and you're always anxious, and you're always, then 9 times out of 10, that is you. Now, in that opportunity to stop and reflect and look back, you need to take some time and analyze your responses to situations that occur. Because usually, what's happening is that we respond to work situations in a very emotional and personal way. And what I cannot say enough is that half of the time, the way people treat you is not about you.
That's right. That's right.
I
And
mean,
that's deep. That's deep. Repeat that.
well, half of the time, the way people treat you is not about you. It's about other circumstances in their life that cause them to, say things to you that may be offensive or say it, not something that even is offensive, but just in a way. And it could be just the way that you may have misunderstood or misconstrued what they were giving. So, but it's very rarely about the person, so it's very rarely about you. So in that time of analysis, in that time of reflection, look and see whether or not you could have responded differently. Look and see whether or not the situation is really what you made it out to be. Look and see, is there any way that you can mitigate what's going on? Because the last thing you want to do is keep picking up and moving. And the last thing you want to do is to create an environment that is not positive for you. So the goal is always to mitigate the negativity and exude the positivity. So, yeah, 9 times out of 10, if everything is always happening to you, it might just be you.
I love that because a lot of times it is. And I love that you said step back and reflect because we're so busy these days swiping and turning and picking this up and swiping our phones 144 times a day that we are always in movement. And, you know, if you allow me, I want to tell you a story. And the story was when we flew to Australia and we were on our way to New Zealand. On the ship was this place, a sanctuary, and it was a place of wellness. And you know, you had the sauna, you had the steam room, and you had these benches that you lay on and they heat you up. And when I get in there, I'm looking and I see a woman just swiping. And I was like, how are you healing? It can't We leave those devices outside. How are you really vacationing? How are you getting well? We can't put it down. Is it, do you have to have that? So I began to observe throughout the entire ship because we left all of our smart devices at home, our smartwatch, our iPad, our iPhone. We bought flip phones. We had
Yeah.
nothing.
Oh, wow.
So it was for 25 days with nothing, but it allowed me to look and you grab your phone, you grab your phone, and it allowed me to be present in the moment. And when I would look, I'd go into a lounge and I'd see husband and wife sitting next to each other and they were all swiping on their phone. And you're on vacation instead of going this way, they're
That's
in another
right.
space. They're looking out somewhere else. And
Right.
that was so profound to me that it's like, oh my goodness.
What a
We
great social experiment.
there was so
I
much that I
mean,
wrote about it.
yeah, I
Wrote about it.
mean.
So, we don't take the time and maybe we don't want to see ourselves. I don't know what it is. There could be a myriad of things it could be, but in this world today, there are so many distractions that take our time that we don't have time. I can't imagine sitting next to my husband and we're just all swiping away. What did we go on vacation for? To look at other
Right.
people's lives? I don't think so. So I just had to tell you that story.
But that again, what a great social experiment. You like you said, do you not want to confront your own life? Do you not want to see what you're doing? Are you so concerned with what everybody else is doing? And again, even when it comes to this working place and this workplace well-being, you have to give yourself and others grace, right? You got to give each other grace. And sometimes we do things that are just habitual. Like the lady might have been sitting there swiping just because that's what she always does. Right? Nothing is spectacular happening. Nothing is really big going on. She's just so used to just swiping and swiping and swiping that she just was probably sitting there in the sauna in the sanctuary swiping and swiping and swiping. You know, so it's like, I just say, you have to be very deliberate and purposeful how you live your life. So and so when you said what you did, so you intentionally left your smart pieces at home and got flip phones. Who does that? Who does
Nobody.
that? I love it though, right? Because I mean, that's why I said what a great social experiment. Because did you get bored? Do you really like your husband? Do you know what I mean? I mean, like it forces you to pay attention. It forces you to recognize little quirky things. It forces you to be present, right? It forces you to be present. Unless you just off daydreaming, but it forces you to interact. It forces you to be present, and I love that. And I love that. And again, so when I talk about you being in places such as work or things that you have to mandatorily do and you don't like it, sometimes you just need a shut off button. Just take a minute, right? Put the phone down. Put the children down. Put the husband down. Put the wife down. Just wait a minute. And get yourself in a space where you can really see what's going on in your life and what you like and what you don't like, what you can change, what you can't change, and then figure out what your next steps will be according to where you want to go. It's hard to reflect that deeply and to see who you really are when you always swipe in and swipe. Because you're too busy looking at what Susie Q is doing over there and what where they're going on vacation and who graduated. Like you're too busy looking at other things to really figure out what would be best for you and your family or what's best for you, period. Right. And so that's another piece too that goes into to the idea of determining whether or not you have, whether your existence at that work location is over and you're just ready to move on to the next space, or whether it's something that you need to have a discussion about to see whether you need to change your behavior or something that you need to have a conversation with someone in order to determine whether or not you all can be, moldable and you all can control the situation so that it works out for the both of you in regards to a company or a workplace setting. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but I love that. I don't know if, and I don't even know if I could do that. Like what you
I
just
think
did,
you
I think
could.
it's,
I
oh
encourage
my
people even
gosh.
just to do it for a day or two. But what I learned in the process is we grab our phones and, oh, I gotta check my email. Oh, I gotta, oh, I'm teaching a class on TikTok for grant writing. None of that stuff. And what was the most interesting thing is I had people when I came back, they said, is Pamela, is this still your number? Are you okay? Because people were sending me things on Facebook and there was no response. People know usually
Okay.
when I travel, I'm not saying, hey, look, this is where I'm going. What I'm trying to do is say, hey, here's a picture. This is what it is. This was in this part. I'm trying to encourage people to travel to get education. I don't need to tell you where I've gone, what I'm doing. So none of that occurred. People just knew I just disappeared. And that's not like me. When somebody texts me, I respond. And what it taught me is I don't have to respond right away. It taught me
That's
that
a big
I don't
deal.
have to do that.
That's a big deal. That is a big deal.
It was really, really good. And all I was doing was writing this op-ed in my head because it was so profound. And it's like, how do we change our life? And we, if you continue, you said it, continue to do the same thing over and over again, and we don't change, it becomes ludicrous. It's like, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. That kind of
That's
stuff's
right.
something different. So,
Right.
yes, ma'am. I just had to tell you that story
I
because.
love that though, because I mean, and what you just said was, I don't have to respond immediately. I
No.
don't have to return your call like in 5 seconds. Like I have time to breathe. Everything is not a hot button issue. Everything is not a hot topic. And the earth, and I tell people all the time, if I die today, the earth is still going to continue to revolve and rotate.
Right.
Like, so you better act like it. You understand
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? You better
Yes.
act like it. Like people are not going to stop, and the sun is going to continue to rise and set.
Right.
So what are you prioritizing?
Ooh,
Right?
I
What are
love.
you prioritizing, and is it serving you? The things that you're prioritizing, is it really making a difference? Because the last thing you want to do is wake up 10 years from now, or 5 years from now, or even a year from now, saying, "What in the world did that did not was not even worth the tea in China?" And I spent all that time doing the same old mess, getting the same old result, and not really doing things that would serve me or invest in my future. And so all of that goes back to how not to be a people pleaser. All of that goes back to my workforce, my workplace, well-being, well method, and making sure that you help your employees work and thrive, and versus just survive, as well as helping the employees understand that their role is critical and their role is crucial, but it also gives them a place to be human and have grace. So it all is tied together, because life, all of that is part of life. All of that is a part of your 24 hours a day. All of that is a part of how you show up for your children. All of that is about how you show up for your husband or your wife or your family. All of that goes into play. So we just have to value ourselves a little more.
I agree with you, Dr. Lamb, because everybody has to, but especially women. We tend to put ourselves on I just said the back porch or somewhere because how we're raised, we're nurturers, we take care of everybody, and the last person we tend to take care of is self.
That's
And
right.
it is like I had to learn that. I did. I had to learn it, and I try to teach that to my daughters. It's like, my mother was a nurse, and she'd always taken care of everyone. And she also, it's what not what you say, it's what you do. Vicariously, I learn take care of everybody else, even though this is what she's saying. But
Right.
I watched her, and like my daughters watched me. And so, just being conscious of what we say with our mouth, but
Dr. Pam, what you
also.
saying? Self-inflicted people pleasing?
Yeah.
What are we saying? What are we doing? Go all the way back to the book. Go all the way back to the book.
Love
Because
it.
again, we can call it nurturing, we can call it taking care of everybody else, but at the end of the day, it's people pleasing,
That's right.
right?
That's right. How do I give from an empty vessel? I
You
need to
can't.
fill myself up with what I am.
Right.
And then I can
Absolutely.
give you The overflow. You can't take the little bit of water I got in my jug and then I'm completely empty.
Right.
And it's like, I can't say I'm this person that knows everything, but I had to live through those experiences and say, okay, enough is enough.
That's
And
right.
there was something I wanted to ask you, and it was, it's great for the employee, but what if you have a supervisor that isn't in tune, that hasn't done all those things? What are some of the things that a person in their job can do?
So if you are faced with a supervisor or maybe you're even part of a team where the culture is not established for you to be able to, thrive, right? And you're just in this whole survival mode where you are being maybe even overlooked, or your work is not being appreciated and things of that nature. Sometimes you have to be vocal because it's hard for you to live or to work at your premium and optimum level if you're not being appreciated, if you're not being respected, if you're not being seen, right? And so before you just write your resignation letter, before you just say I'm done and live in a place of total frustration with your work, have a conversation, right? Because sometimes people, again, it's not always about you, and sometimes people just don't see what they're doing. It's especially in corporate America, it's a rote type thing, and it's a bottom line type thing.
Yes.
So if it's going to affect the bottom line, is that's what we look at, that's what we give the priority to, that's what we focus on. However, sometimes what corporate really doesn't understand is that the well-being of your employees affects your bottom line more than
Yes.
anything.
Yes.
Right? So they're thinking about how much a service costs, or how much a product, how much they can, put charge for a product. And they don't understand it's about the people who made the product, right?
Amen.
It's about the people who are implementing the service.
That's
So I say be vocal in a very respectful way, be vocal in a very gracious way, but allow your concerns to be heard and known so that you can determine whether or not this is a place that will actually respect what you're doing and actually, really see if this is going to be something that they can change and alter for your good, or whether or not they just, that's something that is not a part of their structure. And if it's something that is not a part of their structure, then it's almost a no-brainer that you will have to make a transition,
That's right.
because you spend too many hours at work and too many hours serving something else, right, other than you and your family, to be somewhere that is not going to hear you, not going to respect you, and just going to have you there, living this, I guess, I don't know,
With the
ridiculously. You know
distance.
what I'm saying? It's like a ridiculous life. It's like, and again, and I'm kind of like you, Dr. I don't know everything, and I don't have all the answers, but I do know that I want to live on purpose. Right?
That's
I do
right.
know that I want to fulfill what I'm here to fulfill. I do know that I want to impact positively the people that I'm here to impact. And so how do you do that with spending so many hours on a job or at a place where you are not considered, you're not respected, you're not being heard, and you're just one of a million, and so that's not a good place.
There's something that you said in your work, and one of the things that stood out for me is you're not seen. And you said that, and I think it's so powerful that a lot of people are just invisible. And it goes to you're not being heard. People want to be seen, they want to be acknowledged. And that is powerful because, yes, you pay me, but to say thank you and see me is even better because
Oh gosh,
go
I
with
read
it.
this study, Dr. Pam, and the study, I think it was called the Happy Study, and it talked about how people, oftentimes, in corporate and other places, where people are working, and again, the bottom line is at the forefront, they believe that pay increases or money, just throw money, bonuses, and things like that. And when they throw this money, that employees will just yield and oh, I'm so thankful for this job. This is the best job ever. And what the Happy Survey, or the research from the Happy Survey, determined was that money did not keep people at their jobs.
And it's like, what?
Ba-dum-boom. Money did not keep people at these jobs where they did not feel heard, respected, or prioritized. So, and people left their jobs not because they weren't getting paid enough, but because of the people that were at their jobs, right? So people didn't leave because of the work, and they didn't leave because of the money. They left because of their interactions between management or the dynamics that were happening with the other people, the relationships that were at the job. So that in itself speaks volumes.
It
So
does.
how do you go to a job every day, whether it be online, whether it be face to face, and you're not heard, you're not valued, you're not appreciated? And time, even for the companies that do appreciate, time is out for the pizza party, or the let's give every assistant in the room a bouquet of flowers. You know, that is time is out for that. So the wellness component comes into play when you're able to choose what soothes you. When your employer gives you options in regards to how do you want this appreciation shown, because then they've been thoughtful,
That's
right? When they ask you, what do you want? Because you've done such a great job. How can I help you? How can I benefit you? How can I show you my appreciation versus me just giving everybody a general pen or watch or, it's a lot to it, but you have to be thoughtful, right?
right.
So, it
Oh,
depends on whether
wow.
you have a company that's thoughtful,
And
right?
so when you come alongside and you are consulting and partnering with companies, I know those are the things that you share with them because many employers are not thoughtful. They think it's the money.
But
So
they think they are,
they
right?
think they
They
are.
think they are. And so, again, that's a grace moment.
Okay.
So they don't mind talking to me because I say, you thought that was a good idea. But from the surveys and my data that I just collected from your employees, they don't really like that.
Ah,
Well, they really
I
don't care too
love
much
it.
about that part, right? They would prefer, and so again, I don't want to say that, the companies, a lot of companies do care. They just don't know how to care.
That's right. That's right. And you can't run everybody through like a car wash. What makes one person happy doesn't make the other one happy. So you have to talk to them. You have to have a conversation with them besides giving them their annual what do you call
Review.
it? Yeah,
Yeah,
their annual
evaluation.
review. It's like,
Yeah.
learn about them. When I used to teach, I'd ask, and I was just having this conversation with my husband. I said, the students would come to class, walk right past the guard, go in the building, not even notice where they were. And I would ask them, what's the guard's name? You don't know if this person eventually is going to save your life, but how many steps did it take? Be aware, be
Be
cognizant
aware.
of your surroundings. And so I said, you know what? I'd like you to go back and interview the guard. What about him? What makes him or her different? What's their favorite sport, or do they have kids, and what's their favorite color? And they begin to do that because if you're going to be in health and human services, you need to know and look beyond the obvious. You just
Oh
come
my gosh, Dr. Pam, can we just humanize it? Can we humanize humans? Can we do that? Can we humanize? And right. And so, wow. And so we've been so dehumanized,
Yes,
right?
for sure.
That we don't care about those things you just
No,
mentioned because it allows us to detach
that's right. That's
the
so
value
important.
from the person.
That's right.
So, yeah, it goes really deep. It goes really,
It
really, really
does.
deep. You know,
It
it
does.
gets into race. It gets into
Yes.
gender. It gets
Yes.
into all of those pieces because we're asking people to move outside of what society has deemed as acceptable and correct. Because we've chosen as a society, there are groups of people that we have dehumanized,
Yes.
right?
For
So,
sure.
if you ask me to go and interview this person who I believe is not where I want to be, or is not at a certain level, and should I even care about their family or their favorite color? Or you understand? So you're causing me to have grace, right? You're
Yes.
causing me to be considerate. You're causing me to humanize the experiences that I have on my way to class. And so, yeah, that's interesting too. So I'm
Because,
interested. Yeah.
I miss those things. But the thing about it is that you're going out into a field to assist people, to help people. And if you can't meet people where they are, like you said, humanize them, how are you going to treat your clients?
Right,
You're gonna,
right.
because one thing I would always tell my kids and even my husband, when you go to the doctor, first someone's doing your vital signs and so on and so forth. And in public health, you are taught you do this unobtrusive observation, basically. You're really observing the person as they come in. So now all this information is written down. Now the doctor has it. He comes in and says, "How are we today?" Well, that gives you an opportunity to talk. And the doctor's looking at you from head to toe, making an assessment about you, where you are outside of the information that is there. And so it is so interesting because that assessment is being made from your fingernails, your hair, your skin, and your shoes even. But they do this assessment of you and they get you talking and they listen to how you speak. How do you articulate? What are you saying? So if you're saying things, well, I took this and I think there's some contraindications, then they're looking like, what? How do you know that word? So it is deep, as you said, Dr. Lamb. It is so deep.
It's deep, but it's fundamental.
It is. It is.
Because along with the how not to be a people pleaser, along with the workplace experience, trying to optimize that for folks, we also look at, how do you treat yourself determines how other people treat you as well. So you always have to bring it back to self. You always have to bring it back to self. So I'm going to treat myself well, and I'm going to treat other people well.
That's
And then
right.
I am going to live by the golden rule, so I'm going to treat you well because that's how I want to be treated. You understand? So,
Yes.
and when you live by that golden rule, I have a whole keynote about this. Grace compounded. Living life by the golden rule. Because the whole goal is when I go out and speak to people, how do you treat people? Because it comes back. I don't care who you
Does.
believe in. I don't care karma, Jesus, I don't care who, what you have going on. What you put out there
Like a
comes on
boomerang.
back this way. And if it doesn't come back to you, it comes back to your children and it comes back to your lineage. It comes back. You see what I'm saying? So again, how not to be a people pleaser is just as much for me as it is for you.
Yes.
You
Yes.
understand?
Yes,
It's
I
all
do.
connected. It's all
It
connected. Yeah, it's all connected.
is. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I know
Yeah.
time is running out, and I'm going to ask you before I ask you to give your last word if you'll come back again. Because
Of course, I love you.
I
I
have so
love
much
you.
fun with you. You teach us so much. And I just love your spirit. I love your energy. And you are so real and authentic. And it's just powerful. It is so powerful. And I know that's what the audience sees, that you can see it through the camera. It comes across the page. So I wanted to say that. And then also, the last thing you want the viewers to hear from your mouth, and I'm not saying anything else, is what is it? That summarize it however you want to package it, Dr. Lamb.
That is really hard for me. That is really
Almost.
hard. So first let me say this. Thank you so much for having me on. That's number one. I'm always so appreciative of you. I think that your program is extremely impactful. I think that you come from no place other than a wealthy place of love, of appreciation, of wanting to make sure that people live a life on purpose. and pursue their passion. Like, that's your whole thing. And I think that that's what's supposed to happen, because you're not here to be here for everybody else and pleasing everybody else. You're here to live on purpose, and through and when you live on purpose, you will accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. People will be blessed by you because of you doing what you're supposed to do. So thank you for that anyway, right? For putting that message out there in the air. Now you asked me for some final words. I really don't have I really don't have
There's
final
so much.
words, but what I will say is, it's important to love yourself and be yourself. And that sounds really light and fluffy,
No.
but some people, I dare say majority of the people, are not living their life that way. And so again, you're walking around people who want to be somebody else, who want to do other things that they're not doing, who are not pleased with who they are, who see that they have issues, don't want to change them, da, 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 all of these issues. Just stand back, and whatever you want to change, go ahead and do it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, live on purpose. Be very deliberate about your actions. Want to help others. Want to be a blessing. Want to do things that will make you feel good on the inside, and it will exude on the outside. Again, authenticity is key, because everybody is not your cup of tea. And you're not everybody's cup of tea. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay.
That's
And
right.
it's quite okay. So, if I have some last words, which I really don't, again, I just want people to be blessed by the conversation and be blessed by your program, so that they can continue to live life with passion and with purpose.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. That is
Yeah.
profound. Thank you, Dr. Lamb.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I
We'll
love you.
we're going to follow you. Any information you want to give to the viewers where they can find you?
Oh, wow. Well, the easiest place to find me, I have those social media pieces, but I don't even know. I can't even remember. I'm like Dr. Heather Lamb on Instagram. I think that's it. I don't really do too much. But what I do have is I have a website, drheatherlamb.com. That's as easy as it can get. Drheatherlamb.com. If you want to reach out to me, if you want to purchase the book, if you want to employ me to support your organization, I'm here for that as
Thank you
well.
all for
So
joining
again,
us
thank you for
today
allowing me
on
to
Passion
share.
and Purpose.
And the
It's
easiest
been
way to reach
wonderful to
me is
connect with you, and I hope you found our
drheatherlamb.com. You heard
conversation
it.
as
And make
enlightening
sure
and
you reach out to
inspiring as
her.
I
Thank you so
have. A
much,
huge
Dr.
thanks
Lamb.
to our
You're
guests who
welcome.
contributed
Hi.
to the
We will see you
discussion and
next
share
week.
their
All right.
experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.